At the heart of every community in Kentucky, you'll find one. Your local high school is a place to gather, a reason to cheer, a source of unmistakable spirit. The Kentucky High School Athletic Association is a proud supporter of high school athletics in the Bluegrass State. You can be too. Get in the game. Attend a high school sporting event in your community. This message brought to you by the KHSAA.
You want your team to look sharp. High Five Sporting Goods will have you styling and profiling. We're talking baseball, softball, football, soccer, cheerleading, any sport, any team. They have the apparel you want to make you look great. Embroidery and screen printing, plus the equipment you need. High Five Sporting Goods, 9611 New Bridge Road off Bardstown Road, across from the Fern Creek Fire Department. Call them, 231-5856. That's 231-5856. High Five Sporting Goods.
Bill, I've got to find a way to raise some money for my athletic program. Any ideas?
Now that you mention it, I do. Have you heard of EasyStream.com? It's the easiest way to broadcast your school's games on the internet.
EasyStream.com. Sounds interesting, but how is that going to help me raise money?
You can get sponsors for your broadcasts on EasyStream.com. Your school can provide a key service to the community and make money doing it.
What a great idea. My school will love this. I'm going to contact EasyStream.com today. What's the number?
Just call 1-800-866-7510 or log on to EasyStream.com for more information. They'll have you broadcasting in no time.
EasyStream.com. Streaming made easy. Call 1-800-866-7510 today.
Want your school or club sporting events on the internet in just minutes? Log on to EasyStream.com and find out. That's EasyStream.com. EasyStream. Streaming made easy.
Hi, I'm State Farm Agent Ivy Brito, and I'd like to spend a few moments to tell you about some discounts that we have available for young drivers under the age of 25. Our safety awareness program is for drivers that don't have any tickets or accidents. The Good Student Program is for students that have a B average or better. And the driver training discount is for those who have taken on the road and classroom training. With these three discounts, you are going to be quite amazed at how competitive our rates are. Stop by my office. I'm in the Dixie Manor Shopping Center on Dixie Highway, or just call 937-2820. Oh, and one last thing. Go, Manuel.
I'm a good neighbor.
This segment of Old Gold Radio is brought to you by Chady's Sporting Goods and Screen Printing, specializing in team uniforms and equipment. They're located at 5310 Valley Station Road. Just give them a call, 935-7557. They've been doing it for years, and you'll get a great deal. Mention you heard this ad on Old Gold Radio and receive a 10% discount.
Hi, this is John Wright, and I'm down here in Elizabethtown with the Old Gold Radio's newest sponsor, Sharon's Taekwondo Academy. The president of the academy is Robert Sharon. And Robert, can you tell us a little bit about what you do here?
Sure. Academy is in Elizabethtown, Kentucky. We have approximately 4,600 square feet at the academy. It's a modern academy, full mirrors, paddles. It's a nice, safe, clean environment to train in the traditional martial arts. I have approximately 300 students, varying from age 4 to mid-60s. And we offer traditional Taekwondo training, which is a martial art that's over 2,000 years old, from Korea. I have studied in Taekwondo for almost 40 years now, along the way, from black belts in Waterloo Karate, Uichiru Karate, and Kudo Kai Jiu-Jitsu.
Well, there you have it, martial arts fans, from the Grandmaster himself, Bobby Sharon. If you're in the immediate E-Town area and you're interested in martial arts, it's worth your while to give them a call. Their phone number is 270-737-2927. Thanks a lot, Bobby. Welcome to tonight's coverage of annual football on Old Gold Radio.
I'm sure everybody listening has probably many times visited Manuel Stadium on a Friday night.
Those listening, just maybe curious or whatever, if you have not attended a game here, you owe it to yourself to come down and see at least one. There's a lot of newer stadiums that's been put up in the area in the last few years, but a lot of football programs and high schools have cut their teeth right here on Burnett Avenue.
Well, and still, it's one of the few facilities in the city that has concrete stands on both sides, and the aluminum seats. Of course, I remember the old wooden ones that were here for years and years, and the aluminum seats are nice, and you can get, with a good crowd, this place can really get rocking in here.
And again, it's a nice size crowd for a preseason game on
scrimmage.
A Friday night in mid-August.
Absolutely, and both teams have huddled up in their respective end zones. The Crimsons are breaking the huddle, getting ready to come out.
Freshmen have had their little post-game chat in the end zone. Looks like they may remain on the sideline for the second part of the scrimmage.
And that's a nice deal for the freshmen, too, to get to play in front of a few more fans probably than they normally do, and to actually be out on the big field when the varsity's out.
Well, Buzz, we open up in 2 weeks against Central High School here at the stadium, and the following week, the old rivalry bowl will take place at Mayo High School on Preston Highway. Emmanuel will play the first game against Seneca, and I believe the Bulldogs will take on Christian County.
And that'll be an interesting game. There's a history, even though Seneca really, in the grand scheme of things, is not that old of a high school. And they were in the old county system for years when Manuel was in the old city system. But there is a history between the two schools. They've met. They were in the same district for a few years. And played each other year to year. And so they have played. Goes in other sports as well. And so that should be an interesting game. It obviously the one in 2 weeks. As we've already read in the paper about some of the great players that Central has back from that state championship team, is going to be a good early season test.
I've been impressed with Central the last 5 or 6 years. And
yes,
after
sir.
We played them last year, and I'd seen them several times in the 7-on-7 tournaments last summer, I was not surprised at all that they ended up capturing the 3A title. There's a lot of talent down there.
There's a lot of talent, size, speed. They have all the package that you need for a good football team and a good coach to go along with it.
It may sound kind of strange to say this, but that was probably just the thing that school needed to get the program going, was to win a championship.
Right.
But things can really take off for them down there now.
And here we get them in 2 weeks.
Here we get them in 2 weeks, and they're going to like nothing better than to prove it against a larger 6A school that they're the real deal.
And I'm sure it didn't hurt them to get that stadium, too, when you talk about the program. Building their own stadium, having a place to play close to the school where the fans in the neighborhood could come out and cheer them on. And there was a nice crowd down there last year at the game.
Absolutely. I had a good time down there. We were treated very graciously. It was jam-packed. It was very hot, but a very exciting game. And I look for a big crowd here in 2 weeks.
Should be a good way to open the season. Manuel coming off a 10-2 season. Central coming off a state championship season. What a way to open up. Well, Central Hardin's lining up and getting ready to kick off.
Manuel's in the kick return formation. I only see four men lined up across the 50-yard line. The fifth one comes on out.
And his timing was probably just right. A little bit later, and he'd have probably gotten a few choice words from the coach.
Maybe a couple extra sprints.
Yeah.
And it's a long walk back to second and Lee.
Yes, yes, it is.
And here's the kick. The short kick. Not going to make the 20-yard line, and finally it's going to be fielded and blown dead.
That would have been returnable as the ball bounced across the grass. The receiver did pick it up, but I'm a little disappointed that he didn't come up to try to field that on a fly. And I realize they can't run with the ball, so that's probably what he was thinking. But again, it's a kickoff. That's a live ball. Crimson's come out from the sideline to line up for their first play.
Buzz, I can't say there was any personnel changes because I can't read any numbers, but they look a little fresh.
They do, and I see a couple different numbers on the Central Hardin defensive line, so it looks like they've made a couple of changes. Now, whether the Crimsons did or not, it's hard to say. But
sweep around right side for pretty good yardage. Picks up about six. It was just I guess we call that a jet sweep to the right, as the flanker came in motion to the right, took the handoff, and turned the corner.
Really nice job by the offensive line that time. A nice little kick-out block on the end, and then the tackle knocked his man to the inside to make for a really nice hole around the end.
I think what we're looking at here is the second offense. And after one play, they look pretty good. Quick trap right over the middle.
And that's good
for
running.
About 8 or 9 yards.
Carried a couple of He got hit right about the first down marker and carried the tacklers for another 5 yards. Just a really nice play. Good hard run. These guys are looking for playing time. It's always good to see the younger ones or the second team guys come in and put out the effort that you want to see.
The second team's got a good zip in their step as they break huddle. First and 10 at the 46. Quarterback's going to roll to his left. He's got a man open. Completes the pass. He's taken out immediately, but close to another first down.
And a good job by the receiver, too. He caught the ball turned and got maybe half a step, and number four, the defensive back, just laid a really nice tackle on him and drove him out of bounds, and the receiver kept that ball in his hands. No juggling, went down, and it was a good hard tackle, but a completion and almost a first down.
Second and inches, the ball just outside the 45 of Central Hardin.
The familiar wing T.
Man in motion to the right. And it's going to be the same play as a pass over to the right flat. And this may go for another touchdown. Oh, he just trips inside the 20-yard line. Buzz, that was the same play that we had scored on, I think, the first touchdown of the evening, except it was to the opposite side. This time it was to the right.
And I noticed on this play the back actually dipped back deeper into the backfield to give himself a little more of an arc to run to catch the ball. And when he caught it, instead of going toward the sideline, he was already headed downfield. A really nice, nifty move even before the ball got to him.
A lot easier pass for the quarterback to throw to.
Can lead him down the field instead of just trying to loft it over his shoulder.
Quick handoff. Decent running room over the right side as he continues to struggle for extra yards. I think he picks up about 5 off right tackle.
And not a bad play. It looked, again, like there was a little bit of trouble on the exchange from center to quarterback. It looked like the ball came up, actually hit the quarterback in the chest, but he grabbed the ball, got the handoff off, and that could disrupt a play and lead to a fumble or a big loss. And in this case, it turned out to be a nice gain. Well, you always wonder how your second teamers will respond when they get their chance under the lights, and now we're seeing it. At least on this drive, they look strong.
Counterplay, this one snuffed out pretty good. You're absolutely right, Buzz, and just because a second teamer is playing second team in a scrimmage doesn't mean that he's not going to see significant playing time throughout the year.
Well, you just never know when there will be needed. Depth issues or injuries can always lead to the opportunity for the young man, and they need to be ready. I noticed that the slot receiver on the Crimson's left had nobody on him that last time. I wonder if the coaches will look at that and maybe come back to it later on instead of a running play, throw a little pass there. But there was nobody there on the slot receiver this last play.
Daniel has a 3rd and 8 just inside the 20. Flags down.
A lot of movement on the line that time. The officials are sorting things out. They're going to march off 5 yards against Central Hardin.
It's a little bit more of a manageable down here, 3rd and 3. Ball on the 13-yard line, we'll say. Man in motion to the left. Play action pass. It's the same bubble screen to the left this time. It's a little underthrown and dropped.
It was a little behind him, underthrown, like you said. And when he stopped, it just his momentum was still carrying him away from the ball, and he couldn't quite pull it in.
Fourth and we'll call it 3. If I'm not mistaken, it looks like a field goal unit will come on.
I would say, because there's a wholesale change, and I wouldn't think they'd do that just for one play, 4th down in the red zone. And you're right, Manuel is lining up in field goal formation.
Ball's going to be placed at the 19-yard line. This would make it a 29-yard attempt. Snap's a little low. Here's the kick.
Best kick we've seen tonight.
And this one is good.
Probably the best snap we've seen tonight, even though it was low. It actually went back with a tight spiral and good zip. So improvements already coming to the kicking game. So, in a scoreless game, we're ahead by 1.
This would be true. If we were keeping score, I think it would be 15-14.
Manuel will kick off from the 40. Central Hardin coming out now. Central Hardin's nickname is the Bruins, and fans, if you all have ever watched much college sports, you'll know that UCLA is the Bruins, and they have like a powder blue uniform, and Central Hardin carried that Bruins theme all the way to the UCLA color scheme. About the only thing they don't have is the gold helmets that UCLA wears. They've got blue helmets as well, so it's just a sea of blue out here on the Central Hardin side of the field.
Looks a little bit like the uniforms reminiscent of what Iroquois went to a couple of seasons ago.
You're right. Short kick this time. And
it just bounces inside the 20, and it's not fielded yet. one of the freshman players from Central Hardin wearing a white jersey has broken into the varsity lineup.
And he was the one who broke on the ball. The varsity players, again, stood and watched it bounce. Maybe I'm being just a little too picky, but I sure hate to see a ball rolling around on a kickoff on either side. Somebody should jump on it.
This will be Central Hardin's first series of the second half. Ball's placed at the 30-yard line. And indeed, we're seeing some new bodies in on defense, too. But Manuel stays with the 4-4-3. Draw play out of the shotgun. And he's going to be stuck right in the backfield. Good contact going on back there.
Really nice tackle. We could hear it all the way up here in the booth. Good solid stick. The tackler took the ball carrier down for a loss. It looked like that play might have room, but he just kind of shot through the gap, blasted the ball carrier, and took him down.
2-yard loss, and makes it second and 12. Obviously, the Bruins have a different quarterback in the shotgun. Number 34, high snap. This one's rolling back inside the 10, and he's going to be brought down for a big loss. Inside, out there, they're knocking down at the 5.
Good pursuit by the entire Manual defensive line. Three defensive backs stayed home, and when the ball went over the quarterback's head, the rest of the defense just charged after him to keep him pinned back. And that was just a looping snap that cleared the quarterback's head by a good 3 feet.
Well, I don't even want to guesstimate how many yards they have to go, but
it's a long way.
We'll call it third and 36, 35.
Yep, somewhere in that range.
They stay in the shotgun. What the heck?
Yep. That is their offense, apparently.
Quarterback backs up in the end zone. It's a quick pass over the middle, slant. This might go for some yardage. It's across the 20. Makes one man miss, and he's actually brought down about 25. So he picked up about 15, 16 yards on the third down.
That short slant that's been working for them, again, ball was juggled a little bit, but the receiver came down with it and then turned upfield and carried the ball, and like you said, made a couple players miss.
Brings up fourth and we'll say 20.
All in all, a pretty good series for the Crimson's defense, other than the fact that the big play in that was the bad snap. But they reacted to it well. I like to see that.
And they made the tackle inside the 10.
Yes. Didn't let him get loose. There have been times when plays that started out like that wound up going about 80 yards the other way.
I seem to recall a few of those in my nightmares. Here's the punt. It's going to be
line drive kick.
Caught at the Manual 43-yard line.
Close to a 40-yard punt there. That was a really nice punt.
I'm impressed with the Bruins punter. He's done a nice job tonight.
I'd like to see a little more height on the ball, again being picky. That one actually would have been returnable in a returning situation, but they did seem to have pretty good coverage downfield too.
Well, being the Olympic season, I'm going to give the young man an 8.5. It's a little bit more generous than the East Germans would, but
works for me. Crimson's break the huddle on the sidelines and come out over the ball, getting ready to run their play here.
Looks like the second unit comes back in. Two receivers to both sides.
Still in the wing tee.
Basic wing tee. Snap. Just a basic handoff. It buzzes. It's got some potential going a long ways, and it picks up 6 yards.
Good play downfield by the Central Hardin linebacker. He stayed at home, and when the halfback broke back, it looked like he could have gone for a score. But
Nice execution by the Manuel's offensive line.
Starting to really open up some holes, and these running backs are starting to really pour it on a little bit, hitting the hole hard and then keeping their legs moving as they go. Out of the huddle again.
And in motion to the right. Long snap count. It's the same bubble screen we see to the right. This time it's completed, but another first down.
I think that play is going to be there most all night. Central Hardin seems to be reacting a little better to it, but it's working for a good gain every time we throw it, as long as it's caught.
First and 10 Manual at the Central Hardin 43.
And again, I know this is second team, but I see Central Hardin players already with their hands on their hips. I don't know if they're disgusted or tired.
Same formation, man in motion to the left. Quarterback takes a snap. They're going to be the same play to the left. Quarterback eludes one rusher. He's going to take off downfield. Makes one man miss. 2-3. Big yardage. Nice scramble by the quarterback for about 20-some-odd yards, Buzz.
Nice recognition. Central Hardin had two good things out of that defensive set. They put good penetration on the quarterback, and they had good coverage downfield. Unfortunately for Central Hardin, fortunately for Manuel, the quarterback read that, and when he got open or broke through the lineman, there was nobody in the center part of the field, and he just made a long gain for a first down.
Everyone was accounted for except
the quarterback.
First and 10. This time it's just a handoff around left end. Another big play, a flag down. And this may go for 6. And indeed it will. Nice run, but there's flags.
Broke a couple tackles. Looked like there was a hold back here right about the line of scrimmage, Dave. I think this one's going to come back.
You know, a lot better execution about this in the second half here. Except for the penalty
there. Definitely a hold, which may explain why he was able to break free on the outside. Although I think with his speed, he'd have gotten out there anyway. I think that was one of those holds that you think really didn't need to do that, son. So the Crimsons will be moved back about 10 more yards. But still actually have pretty good field position. It'll be first and about 22. Coach Nichols out on the field getting closer, hollering instructions to his team.
The way the left end opened up, it more than likely was a wide receiver with it.
Yeah.
Daniel sends one man wide to the right, tight end to the left. The man in motion to the right. Snap. Quarterback rolls right. He's got a man open, but he's hit before he releases. And Buzz, waiting for the penetration, they had a man streaking down the right sideline.
Possible 6 there. He held onto the ball just one count too long. Actually, he had the time to throw the ball, but when the man broke free, the defender was already in the quarterback's face and had him on the ground. Still an incomplete pass.
Brings up 2nd and 20, 22. The ball at the Central Hardin 37.
And again on this, Manuel's still in the wing tee.
Man in motion again to the right. Quarterback's looking for the, and he's going to be taken down for a sack. Buzz, I think what he's looking for is the post out of that play they've been running the bubble screen.
He kept his eyes locked on one receiver and never had a chance because the man broke through from his backside, and he never saw the defender, and he just sacked him quickly.
That play still had a chance to be successful. The quarterback maybe just released it a split second earlier and let the receiver run underneath of it.
He needs to read the play, or it needs to develop a little faster for him. It's interesting, though. We've gotten used to seeing Manuel in the last few years running out of the shotgun quite a bit, and not at all tonight.
Third and long. This time a quick step. This time he does launch early. It's a high pass. He's got it! Inside the 10, the 5, and he's going to be brought down at the 4. That time he did release a little bit quicker and found the man wide open. The receiver might have been surprised that the ball was put up so quick, but he made a nice adjustment.
Definitely the learning curve accelerated there as the quarterback did release it quickly, like you said. Nice catch by the receiver. Went up and got the ball up above his head, and when he came down, made a nifty move to elude a tackler and almost took it into the end zone. Got it down to the 4-yard line for a manual first down.
Yeah, the first and goal at the 4. That's an impressive play.
On both ends. And again, the key to that passing game is the receivers getting their routes run and breaking open as quickly as they can so that the quarterback can get rid of the ball before the defense gets to him.
Simple dive play off left tackle, and it's an easy touchdown for the Crimsons.
Untouched. The line just cleared everybody out and pushed them into the center of the end zone, and the play went off the left side. So that's the kind of blocking you like to see on the goal line. No fancy stuff. Just knock them off the ball and let your back take it into the end zone.
It was almost too easy for the running back because there was very little resistance from the defensive line. I don't know what they were expecting. We were split out a little wide, but...
Actually, I just prefer to think of it as excellent work by a hard-hitting offensive line.
Very dominating. Very dominating. Good job, guys.
The extra point this time is good, although it took a unique route to get between the goalposts. It still would count as a point if we were keeping score.
Under the table, I'm writing in pencil. 22-12.
Well, and I'm still impressed by this Central Hardin squad coming down from Hardin County, playing pretty tough. It's obvious that their coach wants to find out a lot about the team because in the last few years, Manuel's been one of the stronger teams in Jefferson County, and you normally expect really good football in Jefferson County, and for them to come the 50 or so miles down I-65, or up I-65, shows that they want to find out what they've got and prepare for a strong season for them.
Obviously, they've got a nice squad. They've got a lot of numbers out there and some good size and some fairly talented players. So I look for them to have a decent year this year.
And there's a lot of good football down in Hardin County, too.
This is a short kick. It's going to be fielded by the freshman, and I hope he's aware that we're not playing live on the kick returns.
I think somebody alerted him really quick. So, again, we'll get to see what the Crimson defense can do against the Central Hardin attack.
Now, Hardin County has put out a couple of memorable teams in this decade. John Hardin made a nice run last season and the year before that. I think they put St. X to the wire 2 or 3 years ago and actually knocked off Mail.
That's
same
right,
for North Hardin. And their neighbors, Meade County's also put together some nice squads.
They sure have.
I believe they reached the semifinals of 6A last year.
Didn't they beat Mail last year, Meade County?
Yes, they did. They beat Mail, I think, in the second round or maybe the first. No, it had to be the second or third round, but they did.
Second round.
It was a pretty impressive win at Mail. On first down, we had a counterplay that went for about 3 yards and moves the Bruins up to their own 34. So it'll be second, and we'll call it seven. As this third period looks like it's about to wind down.
And, of course, when you mention, after this play.
A fumble in the backfield, and I believe the Crimsons will recover, and they do.
Central Hardin tried some misdirection on that play, almost the plays that you see out of the wing tee, and the people that were misdirected were the running backs and the quarterback, and the ball just dropped on the ground, and Manuel recovered. Not a good job by the backfield of Central Hardin. What I was going to say before that play, when we talk about players and teams from Hardin County, we don't want to forget that the just graduated Andre Woodson, who quarterbacked Kentucky, was a North Hardin player, who's now, I believe he's still with the Giants in the pros.
I believe he is. And speaking of the NFL, DuPont Manuel's own Keenan Burton. Now the St. Louis Rams actually played against Mr. Andre Woodson in a playoff game at North Hardin 6 seasons ago.
And Dave, I know you were there. Tell us what the score of that game was.
I think it was 48-16.
And I think it was a successful trip for the Crimson.
It was a nice ride home up Dixie Highway.
Well, the teams are switching sides. We've got one more quarter to go. Clock set on 20 minutes. And it's been a running clock, so that's why these quarters seem to be going pretty quickly. And again, this early in the season, that's not a bad idea because it is so warm.
I think we're going to get a look at the first teams again here in the final period.
Well, we'll see. Both first teams have had a rest then, if that's the case.
Well, the marking, at least the down marker, shows a fourth down. That's just changed to a first down. So they're going to credit Manuel with the fumble. No, actually, I think they're just going to start a fresh possession at the 30.
So the Crimsons take over.
Buzz, I believe we're back to the first team here. I see the red shirts back on.
I believe you're right.
Man in motion to the left. Harness under center. Hand off over left side. It's tripped up at the line of scrimmage, but still manages to pick up about 3.
It's always good to see your running back get enough momentum that even when he's hit that he goes forward once he goes as he's going down. You never want to see him going backwards. Bring up a second and 6.5, 7 yards to go.
And he stays with basically just a basic wing formation. Quick drop, slant. It actually hits his line of scrimmage, and that's good for about 15 down the sideline, Buzz.
Just a quick hitch. The wide receiver took one jab step, throws the defender, turned around, and caught the ball. It was well delivered right on time. And, again, that's that quick timing that we're looking for, and it turned into a really nice gain. Crimson's starting to show some signs of life on the offense now that the second team kind of, I think, may have sparked the first team. Crimson's break the huddle, come up to the line.
Same formation, man in motion back to the left. Harness, play action pass, and again the bubble screen to the running back who was in motion. Great hit out of bounds, but it picks up about 7 yards.
Really nice hit. And Harness double pumped that time. Central Hardin starting to catch on to that bubble screen and actually had a player who defended it pretty well, but Harness pump faked him, got him off his feet, and almost threw it around his body and got the completion for another gain. Looks like a gain of about 6. It'll be 2nd and 4. So now that both first teams are back on, it won't be quite the simple thing that it was to run that same play over and over again.
Harder to score a touchdown on the same play twice sometimes. Play action pass, Harness. He's got a man wide open. And now the receiver's hands.
Just a little bit behind him, but still a very catchable ball. Pretty well delivered under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Number 73 from Central Hardin actually had a shot at Harness and hit him right as he released the ball and put him on the ground. Good clean play, but the wide receiver couldn't come up with the ball down the field. That would have been a first down for the Crimsons.
Yard marker says 2nd, but I believe it's 3rd down.
He must have heard you, Dave. It's 3rd down.
Tight formation, one man to the left. simple handoff to the right. Picks up first down yards. This one's going to go. He cuts back across the grain. This one's going to go 48 yards and the touchdown.
Again, a nice play. A good hole opened up by the offensive line. The right guard and right tackle both did a great job. But then down the field, the running back just made a great cut and left a couple Central Hardin players looking for their shoes as he went on into the end zone.
He looked like he was going to score as soon as he touched the 40-yard line. Very impressive run.
So the Crimsons tack on another touchdown as the inspired first-team offense takes it right down the field to score. 70 yards quickly. Another extra point kick.
Snap and the kick.
Things starting to come together, but I'd sure like to see. I'm going to harp on this all night, I know, but I'd sure like to see that ball zip back there a lot quicker.
Well, that's Spaniel's fourth touchdown of the evening. We also added on a field goal. If I'm not mistaken, Manuel scored every time they've had the ball in the second half.
This second half they have, and I think what we're starting to see here is that the Central Hardin players who are going both ways, it's starting to take its toll on them. It's still a pretty hot summer night, even though this is not what we would consider August weather at State Fair time in Louisville.
Now, we've been very fortunate in the midst of all the global warming to actually have some nice weather in August for a change.
I'm used to State Fair Week being 95 with 90% humidity, so
with my new tennis shoes melting into the asphalt.
Exactly. So these young men are getting a break tonight. So Manuel's getting ready to kick off. We can tell you that the kicker wears number 61 tonight. Now, why he got a number and nobody else did, I don't know. Well, actually, he's not the kicker. Oh, yeah, he is.
Wow. He got a piece of that one.
Definitely got a strong leg. Every kickoff tonight has been inside the five, and one went into the end zone very well. This jailbreak kickoff, I'm going to have to get used to it a little bit.
Me too. That's one of the few things I'm surprised this jailbreak.
Obviously, the idea is to confuse the opponent's blocking schemes. And it's hard to tell if it's really doing it or not since there's nobody running the kicks back.
If there's any advantage to that, it may be that the return team doesn't know exactly when the ball will be kicked because the coverage team is not set.
That's true. A familiar play from Central Hardin, a little quick toss over the middle, and it works out for a 5 or 6 yard gain. A good tackle downfield by the linebacker who made the stick on that play.
Brings up a second and five. Central Hardin stays with the shotgun. This time it's going to be a draw. Decent yardage out of that.
Actually, Manuel defensed that pretty well, and it still turned into a 4 yard gain. One of the linemen got good penetration, read the draw, couldn't quite make the tackle, and then the back squirted through. Wound up about a yard shy, so it's going to be third and one. So we're looking for more signs of life from the defense.
Third and one. They're going to pass anyway. It's a dump over the middle. I don't know if he got it, Cubs.
I don't believe he did.
Great job by the linebacking core.
Three linebackers closed on him as soon as he got the ball and got him before he could turn around and get his momentum going downfield.
It was obviously a running down.
Well, when every play runs from the shotgun, and that's really more like a running offense.
The short
passes, just ball control offense.
It was just enough for a first down.
I would have liked to have seen a measurement on that play.
I was thinking the same thing, but it is a scrimmage. Give him the benefit of the doubt, but I doubt he picked up any yardage on that.
So it's first and 10 for Central Hardin.
Three receivers bunched to the left. Oh, nice screen over the middle. That was really sold well. They did a great job of disguising. And I believe Manuel's recovered a fumble. And they did. They did a great job of disguising the receiver in that screen. I'm really impressed with that.
He just kind of popped out of nowhere with a couple of linemen around him and also actually was past his linemen, so he didn't have much blocking support downfield, but it was a nice gain until he dropped the football. And he dropped the football because of a really nice hit by a couple Manuel players, too. Let's give credit where credit's due.
Back to the first-team offense, and I believe Manuel's going to start with the ball on the left hash mark at the Central Hardin 44. I wouldn't be surprised if Manuel takes a look deep here on first down. It's something we haven't seen much of tonight.
No, we've seen mostly ball control.
Man in motion to the left. Harness mixed up in the backfield, and actually Manuel was lucky to recover the fumble. And Harness was down there wrestling, and a lineman from Central Hardin did recover it, but not after about a 7-yard loss.
Two things you don't want to see in any game. One, the quarterback fumbling the ball, and two, him being on the bottom of the pile diving for the fumble. Let the lineman go after the ball, Joey. But really, he did a good job. If he wouldn't have gotten the ball, Central Hardin would have had a first down.
And that puts the ball past midfield. Two receivers to the right. Man in motion to the right. Harness looks right. It's a wheel route. He's got a man. Oh! The corner had slipped. The ball was a little behind him, but he would have been able to complete that. That would have been another touchdown.
Yeah, but actually where he threw the ball, the back having to turn around to go back and get it, his momentum would have carried him right away from the defensive back and would have taken him into the end zone, like you say.
So it brings up third and long.
Play coming in from the sidelines.
Man in motion back to the left side. Harness, play action pass, and it's a nice flanker screen. This has got a lot of room.
Oh!
It's back across the middle of the field. The receiver on the backside had a good block going, but he unfortunately tripped. Still a nice pickup of the play of about 16 yards.
Got close to the first down. Probably would have had a touchdown if he wouldn't have tripped. Looked like he tripped on his own feet or trying to make one more move. In the NFL, he would have gotten up and still scored. But
the turf monster reached up and got him, and it makes it fourth and four at the 38 of Central Hardin.
Maybe of course will go for it.
Harness, quick handoff up the middle. I think he may have gotten it on second effort.
Another mix-up in the backfield, though. No momentum from the running back because he ran into the quarterback trying to get the handoff, and it looks like Central Hardin has held.
It was a mix-up in the backfield. It was actually the running back ran into the quarterback, but a nice effort. He picked up 2 or 3 yards after that.
Looked like the hole was off right guard, but the running back aimed straight over the center, and when Harness turned around, there was the running back instead of where he thought he would be. Just that split second will ruin the timing on a play, and Central Hardin will take over on downs.
So the black shirts are back out. That would be the defense, first-team defense. All right.
Tight coverage on the wideouts.
Here's the snap. This time they go deep on a post pattern, and a nice catch by number 20. They're going to say it's incomplete. It's hard to tell from my angle, but it was a nicely delivered pass.
I thought he held on to it, too, but he must have been juggling it on his way down. It was on the far side of the field from where we are. But he had the defender beat, too. Manuel was up tight coverage all across the line. Central Hardin had four people split out. Manuel was playing one-on-one with each of them. And the wide receiver did get behind him. Two wide outs this time.
It's another center screen, flanker screen, excuse me. It's caught, but he actually fell down after he made the reception, so it'll make it third and eight.
Not much of a gain there. Wasn't much room anyway. If he'd have stayed on his feet, he would not have gotten much further. Good closing pursuit by the Manual defense on that play. Big down for Central Hardin to try to keep this drive alive.
Snap is a little low, but he's going to look deep. No, he's going to go over the middle again. He picks up about five. It's short of a first down.
Actually, a nice little play by the quarterback because it sure looked like he was throwing deep and like he held onto the ball just an extra tick as he was coming forward with his arm and dumped it over the middle. Nice gain, fourth and short.
It's a pretty ingenious little offense because as much as he sold us on the deep ball, our linebackers had to read deep, too.
Yes.
And they backed off just a little bit and they allowed the receiver to come underneath the zone.
But as last year, and of course with a couple linebackers returning, Manuel has linebackers who close on the ball quickly. They react to it well.
Well, it's fourth and two, and the Hardin County Bulldogs. Central Hardin will go for it here. Here's the pass. It's a screen. I think he's going to give him a first down. I believe they're going to give him first down yardage.
They're going to mark him right on the line at the 45-yard line, and that would be enough for the first down. It was really close. Again, good closing speed by the Manuel linebackers. The group from Central Hardin getting into it over there now. They were excited about that first down, and that's a good thing.
They picked up the first down at their own 45.
A lot of life on the Central Hardin sidelines, too.
They bunched three receivers to the short side, the left. play action pass to the quarterback. He's starting to feel some heat. Gets rid of it, and that should be grounding. There was no receiver in the vicinity.
There is a flag down. And another one. Well, Manuel's quarterback might have had an excuse since they're not wearing numbers tonight. But Central Hardin, the closest player to that ball was number 64. And even in a scrimmage, that's not a wide receiver number. Quarterback definitely was looking for a secondary receiver on that play. Held onto the ball too long. Good coverage downfield.
It's been a long time since the number 64 has been able to catch a pass at any level of football legally.
That's true.
Unless he's a linebacker, it'd be an interception.
So we'll see. The official just picked up his flag. Nothing's been marked off yet. They're still discussing it.
The first penalty was an illegal shift. One would have to imagine the second would have to be intentional grounding.
One's declined. Well, they're all declined.
Well, I'll be darned.
It looks like second and ten.
Well, second and ten. Well, when all was said and done, more was said than done on that.
Absolutely. Here's a surprise. Central Hardin's in the shotgun.
Oh, my goodness. It was a wide receiver screen to the weak side. And
that's what I'm talking about.
There were two linebackers who have gotten used to that play. This time they teed up on him.
My heart is warm all over. I just love that.
If you were excited before the scrimmage started, that'll get you going.
I am now. I just love to see a linebacker
happy football,
really hit
everybody.
A guy.
That was a beautiful hit. Third and seven. Quarterback hangs on. He's going to throw deep, and this one could be picked off. And actually, he catches it. The safety made a play for the ball, and number 20 came down to it. Nice catch. Nice catch. Brings him down inside the 20.
Looked like the ball might have slipped out of the quarterback's hands, and he underthrew it just a little bit, and that's what made the completion. If he'd have thrown it right on the money, Manuel would have had the interception. Great coverage downfield, but you can't count on the quarterback underthrowing the ball. So a nice play for Central Hardin.
Gives the Bruins new life. I think the ball is at the Manuel 26. Fake draw. Quarterback actually runs an option out of it. That was one of the very, very few running plays we've seen tonight, and that was almost just a quick option to the weak side out of the shotgun, which went absolutely nowhere.
Poor pitch because of the deep penetration that Manuel's line had. And actually a pretty nice play by the running back to even come up with the ball. It hit the ground and could have bounced away from him easily.
I think he was laying on his back before
the ball hit. Still scooped it in. Good play by the Crimsons.
Short drop. He looks to the right this time. Slant. It could have went for big yardage. It was just simply dropped over the middle. I don't know, and I could be mistaken. Was that the receiver that got hit by the two linebackers earlier in this drive? Because he looked like he had alligator arms.
He did have alligator arms. That ball hit him right in the numbers. And what we talked about earlier in the broadcast, the Manuel receiver going out and getting the ball with his hands, catching it in his fingertips. That young man let the ball hit him in the chest, and it went right to the ground.
Third and 15. A little bit more of a tighter formation by Central Hardin this time. They loop him back out of the backfield to the right, makes the catch, and he's going to be stopped right there at the line of scrimmage. So that'll bring up fourth down.
Manuel's lineman really starting to break free and put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. The stunts that they're doing on the line, they're getting a good running start at him, too. So he's going to start getting rid of the ball quicker, and I look for Central Hardin to throw more screens, try to slow down that pass rush.
Central Hardin will take a timeout.
Probably going to talk this over. It is a scrimmage. That would be a long field goal. I think their kicker's got the leg to do it, but in a scrimmage, do you want to work on something to try to get the first down and then maybe score a touchdown or go ahead and practice on the field goal?
Well, Manuel with a somewhat comfortable lead of, I believe it's 29-14. I forgot to give Central Hardin earlier credit for their extra points. Conceivably, it's still a two-possession game.
Two-possession game. And this would be, if they did try to kick a field goal, we're looking at about a 45-yard field goal. It's not unheard of in high school football, but still a long kick for a high school.
A gentleman by the name of Sam Ernie a few seasons back. It's pretty reliable from 45 to 55-yard range.
Still takes a lot of leg. Both teams coming back out onto the field after the timeout. And I believe Central Hardin's going to go for it.
Buzz, what do you think they'll line up in?
Dave, I think they're going to line up in the shotgun. This being a long yardage play and the fact that that's all they've lined up in all night.
You would be correct. Manuel's got eight men on the line of scrimmage. Some of them are on man coverage, I'm sure. Scratch at seven. Here's a snap, and it's low. And he's going to fall down and never even get the pass off. So
play never had a chance to develop. The the thing that's kind of hurt Manuel on their special teams, on their extra points, the snap this time hurt Central Hardin in their offense. Ball was at the ankle tops of the quarterback, and he just couldn't scoop it up one-handed and then fell trying to pick it up.
Maybe
tough break for Central Hardin. But
maybe the different alignment Manuel showed them on the line might have made a difference with that snap, because it looked like there was a little confusion with the blocking assignments.
Very possibly. It always helps to shake things up.
A very tight formation for Manuel on offense as they take over on their own 35. Harness play-action pass under heavy pressure. It loses one tackler, two, three, four, and he's going to be wrestled to the ground by about four or five. That didn't look good from the word go. It's just too much penetration on in the backfield.
And yet we're talking about a five-yard gain.
Harness is very elusive as a quarterback. He's got some good feet.
Just good penetration. Again, number 70 from Central Hardin. He's had an outstanding game. He's been playing in Manuel's backfield most of the night. Just couldn't hang on to Harness at that time.
Second and five. Ball across the 40-yard line. This time one man wide right for Manuel. Harness, play-action pass. Rolls right, eludes one rusher. He's going to take off again. He's going to throw it. He completes the pass. There's an inadvertent whistle. I don't know what caused that. But
yeah, I'm not sure either. They played on, and they're going to give him the completion.
I don't know where that whistle came from, but they played on, and Harness made it. That was actually a great play by Harness.
Yes, it was. Again, Central Hardin putting the pressure on him, and he's showing his elusiveness and getting away. And then getting the ball out on the line.
That's good for a first down. The ball, they're going to mark it at the Central Hardin 47. One man split wide left. Man in motion to the left. Harness, play action pass, rolls left. He's got a man wide open on the hash mark. He's got him! 10-5, touchdown Manuel.
Even I was fooled on that play. I watched the Manuel wide receiver from the left cut across the middle, and I thought he was wide open. And I saw Harness go to throw, and I thought, man, he's throwing high. And then I looked up and saw the other wide receiver who had come from out of the slot down the field with nobody covering him. Just a really great play. Good catch after a great throw and an easy waltz into the end zone for another Manuel touchdown. And this time the line did their job. No pressure on Harness at all. He had plenty of time to deliver that ball on the money.
Well, as the team plays on, they look more and more effective and confident on offense.
They're starting to assert themselves really well now. Central Hardin gave them a good, tough battle the first half, but we've seen a lot out of Manuel in the second half. And that's something you really love to see. You want your team to be conditioned. You want them to be strong and able to go four full quarters without a letdown.
Yeah, that's what we've seen tonight, especially in the second half here. It's proven itself out, and Manuel punched through the extra point.
Pretty much a solid lunch pail effort for the Crimsons tonight. A lot of groundwork. A little bit of passing mixed in, good balanced offense, but just a gutty driving performance that wore down the opposition. And a pretty good Central Hardin team at that.
A very good team. Of course, they're heavily weighted toward the passing game, and I'm sure it'll serve them well as the season begins. That's one thing. If I have any disappointments tonight, we haven't got to see the Manuel defense play any run defense, and I guess we'll get a shot at that next week.
And we know that there are a couple of teams on the Manuel schedule that do like to run the ball.
I can think of a couple of them very quickly. And
at least one that wears green and gold.
And have been married to that offense for millennia.
Kind of a squib kick from Manuel, which is interesting since there's nobody returning kicks. And the horn sounds. I don't know if they just didn't want to give Central Hardin any time or not, but apparently that is the game. And the scoreboard shows that it's Manuel 0, Central Hardin 0.
I guess we'll be back here next Friday, Buzz, at the stadium.
Yes, sir.
I think we said 6 o'clock versus
6 o'clock
Southern High School.
Versus Southern High School.
Scrimmage. All in all, it's good to be back.
It's what better place to spend a Friday night than at Manuel Stadium watching the Crimsons play football, even with the controlled scrimmage effort.
It's better than no football at all.
It's better than no football at all. A strong effort by the Crimsons. Looking forward to a great season. And just want to throw in a plug. With a good solid season and maybe a run into the playoffs, we could be looking at Coach Joe Nichols becoming the winningest football coach in Manuel history, which would be a real feather in his cap and obviously a great tribute to a coach who served here and served here well. So, but it will take a really good season for him to do it this year.
Well, It can be done.
It can be done.
And we'll be there every week regardless.
Absolutely. We'll be here calling games. At least all of the games from Manual Stadium will be called on Old Boats Radio. If we can, we'll be at the games that we're traveling. We'll be calling those games for Old Goat Radio as well. Fans, we hope you stick around for the whole season of Manual. It looks like it's going to be an exciting season this year. And we do want to remind you again about the Boosters Dance. It's going to be August 30th at St. Leonard's. That's on Zorn Avenue, just between River Road and Brownsboro Road. That'll be a way to support the team there. Don't forget next Friday night versus Southern here at Manual Stadium. And also another plug for the Manual Class of 1968, their 40th reunion. There are two events scheduled for November 8th, which just also happens to be the day after the Mayo Manual game. And November 8th, in the afternoon, will be at Churchill Downs, and in the evening, it will be at South Park Country Club. But if you're coming to town for that, you need to come out to the Mayo Manual game as well on November 7th.
You're on the Crimsons to their second victory in a row over Mayo High School.
That's right. Fans from Manual Stadium, for Dave Wright and our producer, John Wright, this is Buzz Frank signing off for Old Goats Radio.